We've had a World Health Organization document sitting in our office for quite some time and decided it was time to publish some commentary regarding its content. Those of us who understand that viruses by definition have never been shown to exist are quickly able to identify the fatal flaws in virology publications, which relegate them into either descriptive studies at best, but pseudoscientific relics more commonly. We also appreciate that indoctrinated medical staff, academics, and laboratory technicians may be oblivious to their role in propagating the viral delusion. However, taking into account what has happened on a global scale since early 2020, as the anti-humanity agendas manifest more overtly, we also ask what other purpose virology promoting documents serve. So let's take a look at the WHO's document, Use of Cell Culture in Virology for Developing Countries, to see why belief in the virus show must go on. Show must go on. Show must go on. Yeah. When my husband Mark and Dr. John Bevan-Smith published The COVID-19 Fraud and War on Humanity in 2021, the essay opened with the stark warning. Make no mistake, we are currently being assailed by a worldwide fraud of such scale and malevolence that it threatens our very existence as we know it on this planet. The fraud concerns a purported virus, invented, not found by virology, which allowed Bill Gates to predict a once-in-a-century pandemic requiring billions of vaccines to combat, by which he meant to vastly increase the assets of the Bill and Melinda Gates Trust that sits alongside the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Mark and John gave examples of events and publications leading up to the fraudulent declaration of a pandemic, announced as COVID-19 by the criminal WHO Director Chief Tedros to the media on the 11th of February 2020. Tedros described it as, quote, the coronavirus outbreak, and a word known to a minority of people at the time was set to become a household name. Even to those in the mainstream medical industry and viral paradigm, coronaviruses were mainly germs of little consequence, thought to be associated with the common cold. You can watch my video, Unscientific Human Experiments, which focused on the post-World War II common cold unit and the claimed discovery of, quote, coronaviruses, for more on this. Also of note during Tedros's media announcement in February 2020 was that he opened his speech by saying,
before I update you on the coronavirus outbreak, I would like to start with a few words about Ebola. As you know, we have two fronts now. Although the world is now focused on coronavirus, we cannot and must not forget Ebola. We're very encouraged by the current trend. There have only been 3 cases last week and no cases in the past 3 days. But until we have no cases for 42 days, it's not over. As you know, any single case could reignite the epidemic, and the security situation in Eastern DRC remains extremely fragile. So we take the progress on Ebola with caution, although it's a big success.
That's right. Not satisfied by just kicking off the world's biggest virology fraud to date, he also dropped in an advertisement for the existing, yet non-existing, quote, Ebola virus. Nothing like stirring up the audience by mentioning apparently lethal contagion during a COVID talk. You can watch my video, Bioweapon BS, where I address the fictional Ebola virus, and I'd also recommend Virology's series of articles that expose the Ebola myth in detail. These are a few examples of how we are living in a world where all roads lead to viruses, contagion, and pandemics that are set to go off at any moment. People are expected to believe a narrative where, following the massive decline in, quote, infectious diseases in the 20th century, we are now in danger of being overwhelmed by them. As we have detailed in Virus Mania, by the 1980s, the public in the developed world had lost interest in such things, and for good reason. They did not fear them or feel the need to subject themselves or their children to dozens of vaccinations. However, since that time, contagion and increasingly virus propaganda has gone into overdrive. It started with HIV, which although initially scaring the world with the threat that anyone who was sexually active could, quote, catch it, later fizzled when it was too obvious that something was not adding up with the so-called highly infectious virus. However, the scam was instrumental in putting the imaginary threat of viruses and contagion back in people's minds. Those of us that are awake to the fraud now look at these historical events with a much more critical eye. The various announcements and publications all play their part in sustaining industries, enabling wealth transfers from the masses, and are increasingly used to advance globalist agendas. One such publication was the WHO's Use of Cell Culture in Virology for Developing Countries in the Southeast Asia region, published on their website in 2017. As many of you will be aware, the 2010s were an era in which a large number of future pandemic documents were published by supranational institutions, industry participants, and clairvoyant rock stars. The title of the WHO's document interested us as we wondered what was different about virology in developing countries, and in particular, the Southeast Asia region. In any case, the foreword by Regional Director Dr. Poonam Singh reveals the theme of the document in her first paragraph. Viral diseases have assumed great importance in the recent past for individual, community, and global health. During the past four decades, around 40 new pathogens have been discovered, half of which are viruses. Some of these viruses have brought about a paradigm shift in medical sciences and public health. These include the human immunodeficiency virus, hepatitis C virus, and a few more. When I was trained and then practicing in the medical system, I actually thought this account was a true story. Now I can see how silly the tale is. We are supposed to believe that new, quote, pathogens are now jumping out at us in the form of rogue genetic sequences, some sort of mistake made by nature and now happening with increasing frequency and strangely, for some reason, in the past four decades. Perhaps this is why the lab leak and engineered clone gaslighting narratives are appealing to the virus pushers against clot shots. People who are semi-awake, so are not going to buy the more obvious zoonotic or climate change narratives. It can be painful watching them realize that most of COVID-19 is a fraud without realizing that the entire thing is a fraud. Still, we must keep the channels open as more of them continue to come our way, and once the pseudoscience of the virus model is understood, nobody tends to fall for it again.
Fake.
Somewhat paradoxically, Dr. Singh admits in her foreword that few of these viruses have triggered alarm bells globally through epidemics and pandemics, but then says the International Health Regulations 2005 call for all countries to build adequate capacity to combat such public health emergencies of international concern, thus obviating mortality, morbidity, and economic losses. One such capacity indicator is reliable diagnosis of viral infections. For those of you that are wondering, the International Health Regulations is stated by the WHO to be an instrument of international law that is legally binding on 196 countries, including the 194 WHO member states. The IHR grew out of the response to deadly epidemics that once overran Europe. Do the hustle! They further state, they create rights and obligations for countries, including the requirement to report public health events. The regulations also outline the criteria to determine whether or not a particular event constitutes a public health emergency of international concern. Additional provisions addressed the areas of international travel and transport, such as the health documents required for international traffic. Nothing to see here, right? It is as clear as day within a couple of documents how contrived this entire operation is. Made up stories about contagion causing deadly epidemics and then the apparent framework necessary to manage such future epidemics. A framework that involves what looks like the Trojan horse for one world government. Dr. Singh words things euphemistically when she finishes her foreword with the paragraph, "I am sure that this document will be of immense use to our member states in establishing virological diagnostic services in consonance with the International Health Regulations 2005, thus contributing to global health security." So now we know so-called global health security is at stake. Let's have a look at the virological claims that inform the WHO's document, Use of Cell Culture in Virology for Developing Countries. Before we move past Dr. Singh's foreword, there was one more paragraph that stood out, being, quote, "A few years back, WHO had published simple guidelines on how to establish a virology laboratory in developing countries. There have been many technological advances since then. Newer genetic-based methods have become available. However, isolation of viruses and their characterization continues to remain as the gold standard in virology." I suspect, in retrospect, they wish they hadn't put that last sentence in there, although the virologists have detached the word isolation from any specific scientific definition, so they may still think they have wiggle room. However, I'm sure they didn't anticipate the hammering that Team No Virus have given them regarding the scientific definition of isolation, building on the earlier work by the likes of the Perth Group and Dr. Stefan Lenker. Anyway, in 2023, we are seeing not only the virology establishment, but also many in the freedom community insisting that not only is the physical isolation of alleged viruses not required, but that it may not be possible. Mark pointed out in an article last year that British academic Dr. Roger Watson had claimed that both many viruses had been purified and viruses can't be purified in his attempts to promote the virus model. Section 1 of the WHO's document is titled Introduction to Cell Culture and goes on to state, "It has been over 6 decades since the discovery by Enders and his co-workers that polioviruses could replicate in cell cultures of non-neural origin." Straight into virological nonsense. While the WHO's document doesn't even cite a reference here, we are well aware of Enders' role in virus mythology. In particular, the infamous indirect and uncontrolled methodologies that were embraced by virologists in the 1950s as a lifeline to a model that was refuting itself. In that sense, it is not really a surprise that the WHO would claim that this is the foundational aspect of virus cell cultures. We cover the fraud of, quote, polioviruses and virus mania, and it has become clear that the virus narrative pushes are censoring commentaries on all alleged viral illnesses, not just SARS-CoV-2. When I posted my video version of F. William Engdahl's Toxicology versus Virology, Rockefeller Institute and the Criminal Polio Fraud on my YouTube channel, it was struck down permanently after just 6 minutes. And then in January this year, it was the target of an AFP fact check article, which A, didn't mention my name, B, didn't mention William's name, and C, provided no scientific evidence that polioviruses exist. Naturally, the article did not attempt to address the pseudoscientific practices that were exposed in the video to provide, quote, evidence of the alleged virus. And the icing on the cake came from Vincent Racaniello, who said, "The reduction of cases is entirely due to vaccination. DDT has nothing to do with poliovirus." We can always rely on a professor of virology to conflate the terminology and commit logical mistakes in their confused worldview. The AFP fact check article, purportedly written by someone named Rob Lever, isn't concerned with scientific facts. And as well as nonsensical one-liners from virologists, drops in another appeal to authority by stating, "In 1954, 3 scientists won a Nobel Prize for their research on the poliomyelitis virus, which paved the way for a vaccine." Well, Enders' Nobel Prize, like so many, makes for comical reading, and the official website declares that, "For a long time, the prevailing opinion was that viruses could not be cultured in a laboratory." No, that is a prevailing fact. Particles fulfilling the definition of a virus have never been shown to exist, so nobody is culturing them. The Nobel website continues, However, in 1941, John Enders, Frederick Robbins, and Thomas Weller succeeded in culturing the virus that causes polio in human muscle and tissue in a laboratory setting. No, go back to the definition, not a virus. So coming back to the WHO's publication, as we would expect, it is based on the claimed legitimacy of the cell culture techniques that were developed in the 1940s and 50s. Chapter 11b states, growth of viruses in cell culture is usually detected by visualizing morphological changes in the cells, known as cytopathic effects. In essence, we are talking about uncontrolled experiments without identification of an independent variable, carried out by mixing crude specimens and additives with alleged host cells in vitro. It remains unbelievable to us why virus fanatics can't see the fundamental issue with the methodology of these procedures. It is spelled out in section 3 of the above mentioned chapter, which states, specimen preparation and testing. If the samples are swabs, centrifuge the nasopharyngeal throat swabs at 8,000 RPM for 20 minutes at 4 degrees Celsius and keep the supernatants. About 1 to 1.5 mL of supernatant is obtained per swab. Use the supernatant as the inoculum material. This quote, inoculum, is added to the culture cells in a flask, and if they start breaking down and dying in the test tube, it is claimed that a virus is at work, even though no particle that meets the definition of a virus has been shown to be present. We can't say it enough. Viruses are supposed to be replication-competent infectious intracellular parasites. Cells breaking down do not equal virus. How on earth does anyone think this WHO-endorsed virology satisfies the scientific method? This methodology relies on circular reasoning and affirming the consequent fallacies in the following form. If the virus hypothesis is correct, we will observe cytopathic effects. We observe cytopathic effects, therefore this hypothesis is correct. The virologists have got nowhere near providing evidence of culturing any virus with this skullduggery, and this is putting it in simple terms that everyone should be able to understand. If you want the long version outlining why all of their methodologies have failed, then you can read Mark's 29,000 word treatise, A Farewell to Virology, that provides a complete refutation to the virus model. In summary, there is nothing in this Virology for Developing Countries document apart from repackaged virological pseudoscience being exported to less affluent regions. Remember that the purported purpose of the exercise was to establish, quote, virological diagnostic services in WHO member states to achieve universal uptake. It keeps the believers in the virus model paradigm, which involves fear and mistaken beliefs about what really makes us ill. Members of the freedom community promoting this kind of virological nonsense probably don't realize they have been tricked into promoting the greatest con of all.
I've been tricked! I've been taken for the fool that I am.
Their discussions about false positives, natural immunity, transmission, antibodies, treatment protocols, vaccine efficacy, suspicious genetic sequences, and clones are all fallacious because they have no evidence of the actual thing that they are all premised on. Perhaps the next time you see them talking about such things, with many even realizing the WHO's function as a Trojan horse for one world government, ask them why they continue to support the foundational fraud that is virology. The fraud is front and center in this Virology for Developing Countries document, as well as all the others of its ilk we have analysed. There will be no let up from us as we continue to ask them, where is the scientific method? And where is the virus? If you enjoyed this video, please visit supportdrsam.com